the motherfucker.
Is that what your shirt says?
No, it's not.
I see fuck on your shirt. That's why I said it. Oh, fuck racism. Hell yeah, fuck racism. I didn't even see the bottom part, but hey, I'm glad I brought up your shirt because you know what? Start up the show with fuck racism.
Fuck it.
And you know what?
Fuck it. Yeah.
On that note as well, fuck cancer too. It has been fucking coming back in my life again with shit. So fuck racism and fuck cancer. They're both fucking assholes. Fuck them. Just what was I saying? I was saying that about a game. Valorant. I hate Valorant almost as much as I hate racism and cancer. But Valorant, I was saying, is like having an asshole and a half. That who needs another half of an asshole? It doesn't make sense. You just got shit just coming out all the time. And it's like, why would you need half of an asshole and a half? So Valorant is an asshole and a half. And fuck racism and fuck cancer right off the bat. Hey, we're Murder Moose. What's up?
Josh, I love you when you go off on these rants. It's amazing. Yes, that was Josh, and I'm Rod, and we are the Murder Moose Podcast, part of the Slashing Cast Network. Josh, I would ask you how you are, but I don't know if that's going to end up with a good response. So,
what do you mean?
I'm just kidding. No, so it's funny. This T-shirt, I had my first virtual meeting in a long time and went into it this morning with this T-shirt on and forgot that I was wearing this T-shirt.
Yes.
And I had people go, but what's your shirt say, fuck? And I'm like, no, it says fuck racism. But and then I'm like, but I didn't know I was going to be on camera this morning. And here we are.
And now we're not on camera, but we might. Hey, guys, why don't we ask you, the listener, the person with the ears right now, ASMRing to my voice, do you want to see my face or do you just want to hear my voice? Let us know.
I mean, I think at this point we're like throwing the episode. I've been throwing the episodes up on YouTube, all the old episodes. I had started at one point and put like episode 1 and 2 on YouTube and then got distracted and it never came back to it. And
I could figure it out. It is just a thing. Like, obviously, if I'm going to put stuff on YouTube, I'm going to put a tiny bit of effort into it. I just didn't have the time to put any effort, I'm going to put some effort into it. And
yeah,
we'll see you soon. You'll see us soon.
Yeah, something like that. It's just at this point, just throwing them up there. I think it's weird right now because I feel like during the pandemic times, people aren't traveling as much, right? Obviously. And so like I think podcasts are a big thing that's like
yeah.
People aren't going into their podcast
Although,
things as much as
you put stuff up on YouTube and then people just see it and you put it up everywhere else and then people don't know who we are. Well, I don't know, man. It just YouTube seems to be working
We've got more interactions over the last couple of days with that, just in like people going to
so
see
we're
stuff
going
compared
where the
to
numbers
like,
are.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. And just getting the people to see there. And we had some good comments on the YouTube, so that made me happy.
On which one?
Which doesn't have an official name yet because you need 100 followers on YouTube before you get a real name.
Oh, what? Really?
So
is that
it's
a
just
thing?
Yeah, you need 100 followers on YouTube before you get a real name. So our name on YouTube is like, blah, 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 blah. But if you look for Murder Moose, you should find us. We have the...
Oh, I'll put it on the website when I actually fucking update it. Maybe I'll update that, this week. Because I don't think I did.
Yeah.
For a bit.
Well, that and we have the...
Fuck, man!
So we also have... I got to have you put it on there. There's the Slashing Cast Podcast Network website, which is slashingcast.network, and slashingcast.network is going to have all the shows on the network, so you could easily access that.
Nice.
So that's also pretty cool. We had a meeting on Saturday night and Josh doesn't have time for any of that stuff outside of like recording with me, so I was just like, I'll go deal with this. And
to be honest, I'm very hands off.
Well, I mean, you watch a movie and you record with me, and that's all I asked you to do. So that was really what it came down to. So
I'm good at that.
And I mean, if I ever need you, if you ever want to do more, I'm not stopping you, right? It's the Josh is a busy man with a two little kids. So.
Yep. This works. Yep. I like this.
So, so how's everything else going, Josh? We've been rambling, but it's
dude, I'm in sweatpants every day. Life fucking rules.
Yep. I had jeans on, and I actually went out over this weekend to get grocery stuff. But
no, you know what's even cooler? There's a dollar store that's pretty new by my place, so that's cool.
Yeah.
But even cooler, it did so well, it busted through the wall and bought out the store next to it and made it twice as big. And I went there today and got so much cool shit. I love dollar stores.
I don't think I've been in a dollar store in years.
Dude, I'm a DIY. Years. Like, if you see behind me, that's my, like, camera yeah. rig setup and stuff. So, like, when I go to dollar yeah. stores, it's not to, like, well, actually, it's to buy a whole bunch of shit for filmmaking. But, like, you get their, like, bounces and, like, foam card there, like, the big ones. You can use those as, like, flags yeah. and all that stuff. But I needed just, like, cable ties and those type of things that I've been, like, rigging up all my stuff because we're working on Irrational Fears Volume 2. We're actually going to make something new on my channel. And I just also wanted to just get all my gear out and make sure it's all working. And yeah, like,
you don't have to justify getting your
I'm stroking my gear. I'm stroking my gear.
I mean, you guys don't. Josh started this call out with telling me about how he jerks off on over cam for people, and so like, here we are, and it's here we are, and
no, I said if people are watching, I got to give them a show. No, I didn't say I.
You didn't. No, you said they were watching, and that you had to give them a show.
Oh,
so here we are.
Okay.
I think that's what happened. I'm not fucking sure.
Or wait.
I'm not sure, Josh.
What are you talking about?
And then Josh starts wailing. Bottom boom.
Oh, dude, that's what my daughter was doing last night. I was like, she knew we watched the wailing because then she just didn't sleep all night and was just wailing.
Was she like the little girl in the movie?
That girl just was like, such a good actor, by the way. Like, yep. she had like crazy range. She was.
Yeah.
Man, this was a crazy movie.
Yeah.
It was a little long
yeah.
for my liking, but
yep.
when you get to the end, holy shit. Like, it's all
a build-up.
It's a build-up movie for sure. And you think you got it, and then the end, you're just like, holy shit.
Well, it's funny. Yeah, we were talking about the South Korean movie, The Wailing, from 2016, and it is, man, it's like, part Shaun of the Dead, part like
I love the
but haunted house ghost story.
The
like,
gore is
part
really
28
gory.
Days later.
Like the gore definitely reminded me of 28 Days Later because the blood is really realistic looking. Like they got the color
yeah.
good and right, and
yeah.
it's fun because like when we watched man, what was the movie where they painted the room all white and then had.
Thirst.
So the blood yeah. in Thirst was a lot brighter, and they,
you know,
that's just like the normal blood that you would get kind of at any store is that vibrant blood or whatever. The
yeah.
blood that they used in this looked very, very real, and like the pictures and
yeah.
the murder scenes at the beginning, it looked like something you've seen in like murder scene pictures. From like
yeah.
FBI and stuff, like they got it right.
Yeah,
it was shocking looking.
Well, the thing with this movie is like whenever bad things happened, you never really saw the bad things happen.
Yes,
you would come in afterwards
in
the aftermath.
Adds to it almost like it's the
yeah.
I don't know. That's the more Hitchcock approach, I guess. Not show.
Yeah, I mean again. It's something I've said dozens of times already on this podcast. If you're going to show me something, you better blow me away. If you let me my own imagination fuck with me, I'm going to make things way more terrifying than like anything that like you're ever going to show on screen.
But
like,
this movie takes you on a ride too, and it tells you a few different things, and you're like, what do you believe and stuff, and like that is really cool. And I don't think I think that's why this movie is so highly rated, because it leaves it completely up to like to everything. It like I don't know, it's smart, and it knows what it was too, and that's why it can have fun in pockets as well, because those comedic moments are the relief. It's very needed relief because this movie with the daughter character makes you really uncomfortable in certain scenes, and like without that comic relief, I don't know, man. Like the incompetent police officer role has come up yet again on our show, man. Like, we gotta have a counter now. Bing, like the incompetent police officer. This is like the fifth time.
Dude, it's. I mean, I think incompetent police make horror movies, especially horror movies where they're kind of in more worldly situations. Say you're not like, this isn't Godzilla coming through and ruining everything, or like, it's not like Jaws, right? Because Jaws is semi-worldly, but like, this is a world situation where like people are getting hurt, and so you would think, oh, maybe the police could come in and, you know, stop this and stop it. Nope. nope.
That line though, at the end when he's just like, don't worry, honey, I'm a police officer. I was fucking devastated, man. Like, like they really pull out and push in like to moments and to like emotion so well in this, like the music and everything came together to just really make you feel for these characters and their situation, which is like a really fucking messed up situation to be in.
Yeah. You want to read the synopsis, my friend, from IMDb?
Ooh. I got to get there. I'm not prepared. Yeah,
this movie is literally, though, I think on Rotten Tomatoes, it's like a 99%. I see. I got to look it up because it's bonkers how highly rated this movie is. Like, it's crazy how like well-regarded this movie is by critics.
The Wailing from IMDb. Okay. Soon after, a stranger arrives in a little village. A mysterious sickness starts spreading. A policeman drawn into the incident is forced to solve the mystery in order to save his daughter, who fucking killed it, by the way.
Yeah, his daughter's
And
awesome.
I love his just mannerisms at the beginning, how he's like slumped over and like you can just tell he's just useless just by his mannerisms and how he was like carrying himself. I'm like, he is playing this so perfectly. And then his interactions with everyone, he's just like the scum on everyone's shoes. Like, oh, you're fucking late again? Like, Jesus, man. Yeah. Oh, he comes up with some stupid excuse. You used that one yesterday, you idiot. Like,
that's why I brought up Shaun of the Dead. Yeah. Like, there's a like overwhelming comedic tone of the characters, not the movie itself, but like these kind of dumb characters in this universe, especially like the main character and his like partner through a lot of the like first half of the movie are like bumbling around, not really doing anything right.
But you know what I loved about this movie? It seemed indulgent in itself because of the length, for one, but there's just straight up scenes that don't need to be there, but look fantastic. Like just showing the priest walking up, but like I guess to show that he's going up to back to the Japanese man's place,
the house,
but like the crows and the mountain and just like how cinematic some of the shots were. I was like, holy shit, like this is really really beautiful, like film wise. There's so many just like holy shit iconic looking shots in this movie.
Yeah.
And then, but like tonally, it like didn't, I don't know, it stood out because it, well, I loved it anyways, but you know, it stood yeah. out in a good way.
It's, I think a lot of the scenery shots in this movie are kind of are aimed, it feels like they were aimed to show, like, it's that feeling of isolation. Like, this village is in the middle of nowhere. They're, like, these people are in the middle of nowhere. They don't have anything. Like, all these people live in fucking shacks, basically. It's, like not that far off from shacks. And, yeah. like, it's...
I love how many times everyone, that guy's shack just gets destroyed, too. Screw your shack yeah. door. Boom! Yeah. Come back the next day. Fuck your door again. Boom!
I mean, he couldn't even get his dog's leash to stay in the fucking ground. But like,
that
it is
gave me anxiety, dude. Because I hate big dogs, and like that, just like the slow mo of the pin coming up. I think it's like, I don't know. I'm pretty sure I was attacked when I was a kid. I don't know, but The Sandlot definitely affected me when I was a kid for sure. Like, I loved that movie, but like, I think it affected me.
Do you not like Cujo then?
You know, like Cujo and Don't Breathe, and that, like, it gives me such high anxiety. Like, I don't know. It just, I'm not, because dude, that you can't control dogs, man. Dogs are gonna fucking yep. destroy you. I love dogs. Like, I love dogs. I hate big dogs because yep. they scare the shit out of me because I think they're gonna eat me,
dude. I had a Great Dane, and he didn't even live to 5, and he was, like, literally the sweetest dog
like,
I've ever owned.
Like, that's a massive, giant dog, but that's not, like, a mean... You know what I'm talking about? Like, the scary yeah. breed dogs, like, the stereotyped scary dogs.
The thing in this movie, the dog in this movie looked like a pit bull, like, mastiff mix or something.
Just
this dog was
the biggest
huge.
Head I've ever seen, yeah. and it was a scary bark. Yeah. I'm gonna eat
and it
you!
Was, and it was... And it was black, which made it like seem like more intimidating. Like it was, and also
the bottom.
It also then
his bottom jaw yeah. was just like bigger than his top jaw, yeah. and like I don't know, it looked like he could eat your yeah. face in one bite.
Oh, and he tried. I mean, it
was scary. Yeah. Oh, but then they kill it, yeah. and it was like weirdly, like I don't like the sound, but like when
it
is
yeah.
like it, well, is it keeps... so vicious. It, like, I don't like when any movie kills a dog. Like, it just, you're going there, yeah. right? But it needed to go there because this dog is
well,
so
yeah.
crazy.
You know what the worst part about that was like, the attack happened. And we're not spoiling things. We'll spoil things
I'm
later.
Just
but
used
like,
to spoiling
this, the
now.
Dog scene is very, yeah. The dog gets hit, and then, like, the guy walks out and you just keep hearing him crying, and it's just like heartbreaking because you're like, oh God, this dog's suffering. And it's like, oh no.
I just,
no.
This movie understands filmmaking on so many different levels. Like the use of yeah. match cuts on purpose, the use of just like filmmaking things that I was just like, oh wow. It just, it's beautiful. And it totally makes sense that the writing is there. And I don't yeah. know. You can't really. I don't know, man. Like, I loved scenes where the shamans, they're like their last hope to save them and stuff.
Yeah.
And they do the like juxtaposition between like the good and evil doing the same thing. And like, you know what the cliches or the like tropes in horror movies, it's always so easy for the evil people to just go and then someone's dead, like always. And then in order to like
yeah.
reverse it or to do the good that like repels the yeah. evil, it takes like 8 people and like a church and like a book and like you gotta sit upside down and you gotta put a you know, and then yeah. it might work, but you gotta pray for it. And then it's like the yeah. but then the evil comes out, he's like, well, you know what I gotta do? Fuck you, you're dead. Boom, that's it. Yeah. That's why evil yeah. is so much cooler than
well, I mean, there are other reasons that you find out why I think the good things didn't go out as well as they should have earlier, but that you find out at the very, very end of this movie. I don't know if I've ever seen a movie throw like this. It kind of reminds the ending of this movie. We're not gonna ruin things. It reminded me of like Scream, where like they're like trying to throw you off the tracks of people, like the whole like at the end of the movie, and you're like back and forth. It's very, very like Billy getting arrested in the original Scream.
Yeah, but that and scene. So the. Where the shaman like loses control of his blood and like all bodily functions was so fucking rad. Like that was the like to showcase just the sheer power that you have over somebody else.
Yeah.
I've never seen it shown so fucking perfectly before. I was like, holy fuck, like that the other person is all powerful. Like that is more powerful than anything I've seen visually on screen to like showcase like just like a, I don't know, what would that be called? Like a telekinesis or something? Power?
I don't know. It's a... So the thing with that is it was like the scene from Team America, but like done seriously. Like it was like the vomiting puppet scene. This dude is projectile vomiting blood and like this yellow like stomach acid in
it's
like
so
proportions that you're
it's
like
so perfect.
Yeah,
like they, the, oh,
it's yeah. It this movie is it's impressive how like I talked about earlier that the most of the scenes that violence happens happen off screen. But man, when they show stuff in this movie, it does not fuck around. It is like you
it's
are
elegant
seeing,
in its in, yeah, in its choices of what it it chooses to show you. But like I think Korean films in the like handful, like I've seen now a lot more Korean films and I'm very happy that I have because they have this I don't know. They really understand film and they really respect it. And you can tell there's just a ton of respect just for like film.
Yep. Yeah. Well, it's it always comes off as they're doing something they love like with these movies and not like a Hollywood cash grab movie, right? It's that like just people writing a story and just performing it like excellently. It's like it's so well like executed, like telling a story, and that's what matters in like horror action. It doesn't matter
the amount of
the story
like,
matters
and whenever honestly because like it was a little long for just my home situation. Like I like watching it upstairs but there's a lot more stuff going on. I could bring it down here but you know I'm down here all day type stuff, right? So I'd rather do that, whatever. But just the length in the pockets where like the length was starting to be an issue, it always knew almost that it was doing that. And it brought you back into the story through characters' eyes always.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like panic, but then it shows it. That's when it like shows the character running around in the panic and shows it the character's reactions to what's going on. And it really draws you back in every, I don't know, like there's, there's too much amazingness in this movie. And all done. I love eyes. Sorry. There's a lot of good eyes in this.
No, you're good. You're good, man. It's what impresses me so well is like it has that runtime that's longer than like you're talking about than like most horror films. But then like it doesn't even hand at you everything. Like you walk out at the end of this movie with a lot of questions still. Like you don't know the villain, where the villain comes from, and like there's other characters around the villain that you go,
I can't wait
go,
to discuss all of these spoilery type things because like the ending is very like open ending, right?
Yeah.
So to spoil it is kind of at this point.
Yeah. Sure. And it's
don't want to do it yet.
It's it's the thing where it's like you're this movie is such an adventure and it's like it really does this thing where
it's a roller coaster for sure. It feels like a ride. Yeah. You're on a ride for sure.
Yeah. It's this thing where it's like, it's really like three acts and it's like some of the most defined three acts I can think of. Like, it's broken into like this bumbling cop investigating something. And then like the investigation goes somewhere else and he's like starts panicking. And the third act is just like balls to the wall, like panic. It's just panic. The whole third act is panic, like panic from him, the cop, panic from his friends, panic from everyone. It's just like
because you can't stop it. There's no stopping it once it's started. Well, everything is fucked. But it takes all the tropes that we've seen in like a lot of these movies that we've just watched too. Like,
yep,
What did we? What?
Yeah, there's a lot of. I mean, like this. Shudder. This movie's is in with like the possession film, so the it's in there like with things like a good one, not a good. It's like Dark and Wicked.
Oh right,
and,
yeah.
And stuff like even like Anything for Jackson. It's got the. It's kind of classified in those type of films with the like.
It has a lot of those tropes, element. Though. It does have a lot of those tropes.
Yeah. What's the? It's got.
But
the,
this is
like,
more elegant in its approach to it. It's not. It's not going for like the heavy metal approach, because if it was, it would show all the gore like happening, not just the after. And it's a character driven story based around very horrific events. And all the characters are so interesting. Yeah. Like every single one of them, you want to know more. And they're all played so well. Like you feel like every single person is the character in the movie. Like,
it reminds me a lot of what I like about this movie is that it another thing I like about this movie, it feels like accurate. Like it feels like if this shit was actually happening in some redneck nowhere in the middle of the nowhere town like this or village like this, that like these cops would have no fucking clue what to do. They would have nobody, like they're like panicking and not knowing what to do, and then it's like it gets very like mob mentality for portions of this movie, because like there's these people are so like scared, like that it's that human nature of when people are scared that they'll like in groups, they'll go do things they think will stop the danger from coming to them, right? And so there's mob mentality things of this, and it's like there's language in this movie, even like that's like you couldn't have coming from like an American movie, right? Like the one character is a Japanese guy, and they call him the Jap is what they call
they
him the whole time.
Abbreviate it very harshly, and it's, the entire movie. I was like, whoa.
And it's very like
that's a backhanded
that like hits. What, and you think about it, like the Japanese and the Koreans are not exactly, you know, buddy buddy after World War II and all that stuff, and you go starts going, that's what's interesting thing when you dive into these movies is like what are these cultural things that like we don't quite understand and like but we get like general ideas of like right, it's that well what kind of content do these people have for like contempt have for the Japanese, and it's like I don't know, but it seems like they were like the filmmakers respect the Japanese culture, because there's Japanese things throughout here, like a lot of this rings as a Japanese ghost story, right? And like that very very like
I want to watch some more Japanese movies on for the show.
I've been thinking about
like
because
that's what my head always goes to first, and when you bring up foreign horror, I always just go to like Japanese horror. So the fact that we haven't really watched anything Japanese yet is kind of crazy. Let's do it.
Well, I've had this weird obsession with South Korean things for a while now, and it's like we've hit off. We'll do Old Boy for episode 25 because I still want to do that, and that you need to see that, but. Then we'll dive into some Japanese stuff, and that should be fun. I've watched a lot of weird Japanese movies, dude. A lot of weird Japanese movies. Like, I think that there's a movie that you would really like because it's very much like Evil Dead, and it's called Versus. Do you know Versus? It's like
how do you spell it?
This prisoner, Versus. It's this Japanese guy who's like a prisoner, and then like he gets out of prison, but then
building in my city.
But it would be an interesting watch. It's very, very like
I've never seen this
cheeky beam. Yeah,
it looks like a blade.
It's like if you took that movie is basically if you took Evil Dead and you took the Matrix and kind of combined together with the same.
Why
kind of
haven't we watched it?
We could do that. We'll do that. We'll do that after Old Boy. Like, or unless you want to do that next week. We could do Versus next week. Because you usually like picking out little independent movies. And so, yeah.
Independent is fun.
It is, dude.
Oh, wait. Actually, I've been trying to get my hands on the stylist. I've been following the writer director.
Oh, yes.
I've been following her for a long time on like social media and stuff. And yeah, I've seen the short and I don't know, but I think I can reach out to someone and potentially get it. But I think it's on Arrow, and Arrow just launched too. So maybe we'll just figure out it, get it on Arrow or something.
I tried to reach out to the Psycho Goreman people to see if someone from the movie would come on the podcast, but no one ever responded. I DM'd them like, how easy would it be to get a hunky boy on the podcast? And no one ever responded. And I'm like, come on, man.
We don't have enough of a presence.
I know, but like we just get some hunky Goreman on here just to come talk about movies, you know? You know what's funny about this? I'm looking at it on Rotten Tomatoes because of like seeing those numbers. This movie is a 99% on Tomatometer and 82% audience score. So like, it's funny how like there's a certain group of the audience, not a huge group, but that are like, nah, this movie's too fucking artsy for me or too long or whatever. It's like,
honestly, I think the way it ends, literally. If you had any gripe with the movie because of the ending, it should erase a lot of anything because it turns like for the last like 20 minutes of the movie, it just turns itself insanely artsy and then it does what it does. And I don't know. I think I was like not on the fence, but like had a few more like issues potentially with it. And then after the end and it all comes together and you're just like, oh, like just, I just had a fucking turkey dinner of a movie now, like satisfied with it. I'm just like, wow. Yeah. Like, oh yeah. What, thanks.
Like I said, the three acts kind of have different feelings. They're very distinct. Yeah. And it's like, you go from
first
like
one,
bumbling cops.
Totally. Yeah, felt like Hot Fuzz. Like it was very reminiscent of Hot Fuzz. Like when did these movies come out in? Oh no, this is 2016. So it could have honestly been influenced by Hot Fuzz for sure. Like we don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Hot Fuzz. I mean, it's got the Edgar Wright the kind of feeling to it. And I brought up Shaun of the Dead because it's like I was laughing my ass off a lot of the beginning of this movie. And you're sitting there going,
Kissy didn't know what I was watching. And then she's like, wait, are you watching a zombie movie? Because there's like people yelling and like, going on and stuff. Yeah. But then I'm laughing. She's like, what the fuck are you watching? Because she was like painting a wall and not watching. Yeah. So she's like, what the heck are you doing?
Yeah. My wife came in and was like, started watching a little bit and like watched a lot of the second half actually. Like she came in like when they're pulling bodies out of the well at one point. And I'm like,
there's a lot.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, you could just tell me what happened at the end. I'm like, I mean, I could do that. It's, yeah. It really, like, before we go spoil it, like, this movie is, I can see why. This movie is, if you're a movie person, if you're into cinema, this movie is beautiful. And it's so good to see, like, critics and audiences really, 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 really get behind a horror movie because it doesn't happen all the time, man. It is a thing that when it does, it feels really good. And it's like, you can start being like iconic. Like this movie's ratings are, I mean, it's not as many as like Texas Chainsaw Massacre or anything like that. Right. But like, you're getting this thing where you're like, you're seeing 99% of critics like this. That means you have like that one asshole critic that is going to go, fuck this movie. It sucks for no reason other than just to be that dude.
Have you seen any of his other movies?
No, I was just looking at he's
Chaser.
Done three movies and I've never even heard of like any of them. It's called he did a movie called The Chaser.
I've seen the Yellow poster Sea. Before, but yeah.
Yeah. And again, it's one of these things where it's he does okay. It compares it. You might also like these are movies that I like. I really like The Man from Nowhere. The Man from Nowhere is a fucking dope ass action movie. But yeah, it's this movie is, if you like cinema, is this movie should be right up your alley. It's again, it's
oh, I've seen The Man. It's from funny.
Have you? Yeah, that movie's dope,
dude. You know what movie I just rewatched lately, or not lately, the other week? And I think this is honestly, I've put the Inception movies in my life of the movies that made me want it to be a filmmaker was Jurassic Park. But then the second one, and I didn't even realize it, is The Last Action Hero. I don't know if you've seen it. It's fucking, yeah. It's such a,
I haven't.
It's so good, man. It's so fucking good.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I haven't seen that since it was like, came out on DVD or whatever, Blue or VHS, man, or whatever back in the
like,
day.
It's
yeah.
So perfectly 90s, and you just can't do that shit. Like, half the shit in the yeah. movie is just like, I'm never yeah. going to see any of this in fucking cinema again. And oh, that's yeah. why I love this movie so much. It's just so yeah. perfectly, like, not okay.
Yeah. yeah. Oh, it's, yeah. Dude. I think at some point I was thinking about it the other day. I want to do Dead Alive for the podcast.
Oh, I would love to do that.
I don't. Dead Alive is literally, I think, one of my like is one of my most like my I view it as one of my most underappreciated movies of all time. Like for horror people, because
do you call it Dead Alive movie, or do you call it Brain Dead?
Usually Dead Alive, but that movie has like it was like. That was like Deadly Games. Remember how many titles Deadly Games had when we talked about
well,
that
no,
movie?
It's like it was Brain Dead, and then it got changed. I don't know, because maybe when it came over to America, it got changed to Dead Alive, I think.
Yeah. I got my wife for Christmas, The Frighteners, and nice. Watching Dead Alive and Frighteners
dude,
like close to each other, it's like...
I remember... Wait, when did Frighteners come out? I have to know this because I
95 or 96.
It came out on my birthday weekend. So I went for my birthday to Frighteners with like my friends. So like, and I remember getting like a magazine or something, and like it had the Frighteners poster in it, but it was like one of those 3D ones where it would change from like Michael yeah. J. Fox's face to like the ghost thing. I was like, this is the fucking yeah. best thing. I had it on my wall. Like, I was obsessed with that movie.
Yeah. That movie was the first Peter Jackson movie I ever saw. And I was like, I just wish Peter Jackson would go back to doing horror.
So do I, man.
Peter Jackson doing horror is, instead of becoming this studio shill who takes a 300-page books and makes it into 10 hours of movies. And
hey,
like,
he's good at it,
Peter.
Man. He
is really good at it, just but...
I don't know. Like, he created a package for himself and for his, like, filmmaking career that is just huge, man. Like, you take yeah. a hut in a hill and... He can make it into like magic, dude, right? Like,
dude, it was funny because when we were rewatching The Frighteners, I'm sitting there going, "Man, you could tell this is the exact same town he shot Dead Alive in, because it's like, you know, it's like a 5-year difference, right?" And The Frighteners is supposed to be California, but yeah, okay. So yes, if you like cinema, you like horror, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably like those things. Go watch this movie. This movie's dope. It is. It's beautiful. It's cool. It's very much like Possessor, like last week, where it's really a very, very thriller movie with horror elements. Just like you
it
know,
understands like that you can have a good story as well as yeah. being a horror movie. And I love yep. that filmmakers are understanding this. It doesn't just need to be yep. a quote unquote horror movie. This is a horror movie 100%, but it is. Like yeah. a movie.
Yep. It was funny because I had I tweeted something out about Possessor after we after we watched it, and someone was like, "Oh, that movie could have been so much better." I'm like, "Me and Josh liked it," and this guy's like, the guy was like, "Oh, whatever," and I'm like, "This is just our opinion, man. It's not like we're allowed to enjoy a movie even if you didn't." And like,
I don't know, man. Yeah. Like I
didn't argue with the guy. I just laughed at it.
I've been talking about and or reviewing movies on the internet in some capacity for over 10 years now, right? And I just came I just met Rod on the heels of a break of, I don't know, like close to a year or I don't know, like just yeah. like the complete burnout central from my YouTube channel and just like doing all of it. I let it fucking affect me, man. And I don't ever want yeah. to let that shit affect me yeah. ever again. So if you got a dumbass comment, leave it below, but I'm just going to call you a fucking idiot. That's it.
And that's, I didn't argue with the guy. I'm like, okay, it's Possessor was a high, like whatever idea movie, but
I love high okay. concept movies, man. Like
yeah, high concept.
High
yeah,
concept.
Me too.
If, especially in the psychological, when you're painting a picture, a visual to yep. something that doesn't have a visual, and you choose to do it in an elegant way, like Possessor chose to do it. Fuck that guy yep. for saying anything the contrary. That movie was beautiful.
Yeah. Okay, so we're gonna spoil this. So go watch it if you don't want it spoiled. This movie, I don't think the spoil
say,
talk about this movie
every,
is.
Fuck everyone. Yeah. You're listening to this. Fuck you.
Josh needs a hug and a hand job, man. I love you. It's he really doesn't mean fuck you guys.
No, I mean every single. I hate everyone. Don't even listen to us. Turn this fucking thing off right now.
God damn it, Josh.
No, dude, I had a, when I was in a band, Olivia, we just do yeah. this stuff. Like I was, my guitar player, he was just always like, ugh. So we were just like, oh, Matt hates everything. And Matt hates everyone. We got to make a shirt that says Matt hates everything or something. And I was like, no, Olivia hates you. And that was a shirt that we made because we were like telling the audience that we hated them and it sold out fucking instantly. They ate it up.
That's funny.
And then I was like, that's they came funny. Up and they were talking to me. I'm like, you're wearing a shirt that says, I hate you. So I don't know, man. If you're listening yeah. to this, I hate you.
Murder Moose hates yeah. you. Next t-shirt coming out. I'm going to try to put the, I was looking at putting our t-shirts out like here pretty soon. Brian from Dead in Santa Carla did this cool little like logo kind of thing that was good for a shirt. So
I just, it's so funny. Murder Moose hates you. That would be hilarious.
Do that. So yeah, this movie is, I actually don't know how much of this, like between like for a spoiler, like between length and just like, not slow pace, but it's very like meticulous with how it does everything, right? It doesn't rush anything. It just it builds things up at a pretty good
speed.
Why
didn't he take a crack at him with the fucking ice pick, like right at the beginning with that like pickaxe thing? Like, come on, man. You could yeah. you had his
You mean the first time
the first meeting.
The first time
Just take a swing at his head right there. You could have seen if he was immortal or not.
Yeah. Dude. So yeah, this movie starts off this tiny village in South Korea that's like up in the mountains. Like that's what Josh is talking about. You keep seeing scenery and it's just like trees and mountains and it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And there it starts pouring in this movie a couple times and you're like, fuck, it's like it's heavy rain. And you're just like, this is like that tropical environment that South Korea is in. My dad was stationed in South Korea for a while when he was in the army, and he talks about it. It's just like, it's just so hot and sweaty all the time. That's like why, like, South Korea is another one of those countries that loves to eat spicy food because it just like makes your pores open up and sweat a shit ton. So like, that's what South, just like humid and muggy all the time.
Oof.
And our main character is this bumbling cop idiot who has. I got a little confused at the beginning of this movie because he's got his daughter and he's married. He's married, but like his wife has like seven words the whole, it's not that many, but like she barely says anything all the time. And at one point early in the movie, his daughter catches him fucking some, like their neighbor. Was that their neighbor? That wasn't his wife, was it?
I think it was his.
Fucking some other...
I thought it was his wife.
Was he?
But then.
Okay.
But I don't. Honestly, I don't know because then when they came in, I was like, wait, was he fucking his wife in the car? Do they just go outside? Because like their house is just like, you know, beds on the floor and like a low, you know, low yeah. tables and all like paper walls yeah. and stuff. So maybe they just go to the car yeah. for privacy, well, yeah. to be well, honest.
That, they have, so I, what I realized later on is that they all have these little house, like villages, like they're like these like little, they have like, their house is like three little buildings put together in like with a wall around it. And so I think that was his wife, but it was weird because like, his little daughter like catches him fucking at some point and she's just like so casual about it. It's fucking hysterical. Yeah. But so yeah,
it's
so
not
this,
the first
this
time
bumbling
I've seen
cop,
it. And he's just like, oh man.
Yep. He's like, what the fuck? This village like basically starts having these really weird crimes happen. The guy gets a phone call in the middle of the night and he gets up to go to work because this, some farmer in town's wife got murdered, and you find out like they give him shit, like his mother-in-law and his wife, I guess, give him shit and make him eat breakfast. And so he gets to this crime scene after it's been there for like hours. one guy's like, what the fuck? Why did it take you so long, you idiot?
He shows up on a like, bicycle.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, there's this dude like chained to a, like, you know, handcuffed to this fence out. And he looks like a fucking, like a 28 Days Later rage virus. It's very.
Oh, what was that movie? Like yeah. Stigmata. That one had some yeah. pretty like creepy visuals, like with the eyes rolled yeah. back and stuff. Eyes rolled back yeah. in the head is always like a really gruesomely good visual.
Yeah. Which is why white contacts and black contacts, when you get that. You take the pupils out of the equation, it gives that inhuman look yeah. because you're like the eyes are the gateway to the soul, right? And so when you don't have that gateway, you're just staring into these white white yeah. And they do some creepy shit in this movie with the red eyes, by the way.
Man, like that demon is so effective.
Yeah.
Until the yeah. very well, end. Like he's creepy, yeah, but like when they just did they pull like a forced perspective thing, like put bars and then make him come out of the bars, because I swear they did something weird and made him look almost like 3D coming towards the camera, because it was like a really cool effect.
It was something to do with how they were shooting it from the floor with his perspective to the priest who's standing up.
It was so
cool.
Well, no. I was talking about the first time you see him, and then when he comes at you like over the rock for like the dream sequences
yeah.
and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Like the first time yep. you see him coming at you, I swear they did like the forced perspective like bars and then made his hands come out of yeah. the bars so it looked like he was coming. Yeah. Like, I don't know. You know yeah. when they like cheesily do that yeah. for 3D movies, like in 3D yep. and then they show the movie like come over the 3D bars. But like
yeah.
to use it like randomly, like out of nowhere like that, I don't know if they did or not, but like
yeah.
that's the effect I felt with that. It was done yeah. so well.
Yeah, it's funny because they have this weird murder, and it you can tell that these cops really have never dealt with real murders. Like this is there's like blood everywhere, and it's which is a reoccurring theme with all these like crime scenes in this movie.
The set
and,
decorator
like,
is just insane.
Yeah.
They're just like no. There's
so,
splatter up on the walls there and down on the like it's
yeah. Yeah, so you find out that like this woman got killed, but her husband got killed too, and some other guy, or like the husband brought some other guy over, and there's like two people that got murdered, so there's just blood everywhere, and that guy is outside, like caged everything, and so it's this real like interesting concept of like this little village that like everyone trusts everyone, but then this Japanese dude has moved in and like lives in the middle of the woods. And they're all like, you start getting these rumblings in the movie where it's like, everyone's like, oh, it was this dude. He's a, it kind of like sounds like they're implying they're calling him a ghost. They're calling him some characters are describing him like a vampire, but you keep getting these weird, like cuts of him, like randomly with these red eyes that are just crazy creepy effect, right?
I think that's the best context I've ever seen like used
yep.
for a demon.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, dude, it's funny because they have it in these things where it's like it's not they're kind of contrived situations. Like this ginseng farmer is like, you see him like fall over and roll down a hill, and he is hits his head on a rock. Like he was drunk as fuck in the middle of nowhere, and I guess he was trying to walk home. And he wakes up and he sees this dude like just gnawing on a deer carcass. It's just like there is. My wife didn't like when she was coming in and watching parts of it. She did not like the animal stuff because it's like you can't tell what they're fucking doing with the animal stuff in this movie. But there, there's a lot of dead animals in this movie. There are a lot of dead. There's like
they zoom up fucking, on like slitting goats' throats and stuff, and like it's visceral. Yep. On that type of stuff.
It's like, yeah, there's that and crows and chickens. Ox heads and chickens and and sitting there like, wow. And you get to see this really, like, really interesting perspective into what
the cultural difference.
A village. the cultural difference. But also it's like, this is like, you could translate this over to America with like American small town, right? But like in middle of West Virginia, but then you're like redneck, like, inbred motherfuckers, basically what it would turn into. But like you sitting there and it's like you got wrong turn again or something like that. But
there's a new wrong turn.
Yep, which is a cult movie, not an inbred psychopath movie. It's about a cult in the middle of West Virginia.
Oh, that's what they changed
in the middle of nowhere. Yeah.
Oh,
I've seen a couple of reviews of it, and it's on my radar, like, to go watch that, but yeah.
I don't know, man. Like I said, the first one was out when I worked in the movie theaters, and I saw it like over and over and over again because it was the movie that was the only horror movie that was out at the time that I worked there or whatever.
Yeah.
So I saw that a ton of times, and I also had a crush on Douchecoot, or is that how you supposed to say her name?
Yeah, Eliza Douchecoot. Yeah.
She's cute.
So
has she been in anything lately? Jeez, now that
I don't know, man. She's not been anything in a while. The movie starts translating into like another one of these incidents occur.
2000.
Is this when the house gets burned down? Like the second incident is the house burning down, right? Like, and the people all get, again, it's the bumbling cop shows up late, doesn't do anything, like, nobody knows what's going on, and then everyone, like, when the house gets burnt down and everything happens, everyone in the town or the village starts really blaming this Japanese guy. Like, so the cop and the two cops, they get this priest, or a guy training to be a priest, to go with them into the mountains to talk to this dude, because he is the priest speaks slight amounts of Japanese.
Yeah.
Enough
to get in trouble.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It is. There's translate, like, so it's another thing that's, it makes it these scenes intense, because the language barrier is so, especially when the cop gets pissed off later on in the movie. They go into this, they find this guy's house, or they didn't even find it the first time, right? It's like they go looking, and then the guy who was showing him where he lived was like, nah, fuck this, I ain't going. Like, he wanted nothing to do with this Japanese guy's house, because everyone in this village is so superstitious, right? They're all like, this is a ghost, this thing will fuck us up, and I want nothing to do with it. But it's like, that didn't stop anything. It's like there's this thing you find shit out at the end that you go, yep, this couldn't really get stopped. Or maybe it could, but who fucking knows?
I don't know, man. It begs the question, were they all working together?
Well, we know at the end someone's working together, but not like everyone. So it's, I think that there's real, real cool revelations that they show in this end of this movie we'll talk to you about in a little bit, that I love when they do something where it's like,
it's clever.
Oh, okay,
it's clever, but it's also clever smart
without
clever.
Yeah, and that, and it's not just handing you information like, or like a voiceover telling you what's happening. They show you with something that you go, oh, this and this. Oh, and yeah, it's just like,
it's, you're not spoon fed anything. And
yeah, yeah,
they leave you with more or wanting more.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not answering anything. Yeah.
Yeah. So these people start all like, there's all these signs that they're figuring out. These people, like, before they go crazy, they start having like, like someone burned their house down, and then like that's when all the people like were murdered at the well, and then whoever was did it all. I think the old lady did it, and she had. Oh, that's like one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie. Like the before this happens, they're sitting at the police station at night, and this old lady runs up to their like door, completely butt ass naked, yeah. And they're both, the one guy freaks the fuck out. He's like, ah!
That is the funniest part of the whole movie.
And you're like, you just see this old lady just fucking running around.
That's to show how useless he was as well. Because as soon as there was the hint of any sort of danger, that was his immediate reaction to it, was to just fucking literally fall behind his desk and scream.
Yep.
It was awesome.
Which is funny because it shows that that also then uses it to like when things hit the fan here in a little bit, that like he overcomes it. I mean, not in any kind of effective way, but he's just not a fucking complete fraidy cat. Yeah. So they see this old lady and they're like, what the fuck? And she disappears. And then she like burns her house down and murders everyone in the house and throws them all in the well, right? And then goes off and hangs herself from this tree, and you're like, how the fuck did this woman even get up there to hang herself like this in the over the road? And you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but that's what, obviously she didn't do it herself.
Yeah.
They can make,
yeah, that's, I know that, yeah, you're sitting there going, this old lady could never have gotten up there by herself to do all this. And you go, oh, okay. So the cops are all idiots, and they're all like, you notice they're not very concerned about it until like the cop's daughter is like, so when they go and talk to this guy,
what, you found a shoe? What the fuck?
Yeah, he finds his daughter. Or he doesn't find his daughter's shoe. His partner finds his daughter's shoe in this guy's,
man, like that
weird. Yeah,
that death closet was fucking. It actually reminded. Okay, so like this is, and I will always say this, and my mind will always go there because for a period of time in my life, with like my ex's family and stuff, they were obsessed with CSI, CSI Miami, CSI, just all the fucking CSIs. So it doesn't matter any time I watch a murder mystery movie or anything, it's all CSI. Okay, you got to have the obligatory CSI moments in movies like this because he is a cop, and there wasn't an abundance of CSI type moments in this or CSI things. I hate when any movie reminds me of anything to do with CSI because it's not a good thing.
Well, dude, that's one of the best parts in this whole movie. The two cops are sitting there, and like after the first murder scene, right? And they get assigned, they have to watch the house for some reason, and like they just have police tape in front of it, and this girl comes and starts like throwing rocks at him. You're like, what the fuck is going on with this? Like, is she like affected or whatever? And later on, it's just the idiot main character, and she's like, I want to show you something, and she goes in the house with him and finds the knife, right? Or she's like describing how everyone got murdered in the house, and you're like, how the fuck? And the cop goes off to, he's like, I got a witness, you got to come here. And then he turns around and she's gone, and like she escaped, and they're like, you idiot! You lost her only witness. Like more of him being a bumbling moron. Like right, and you're like, oh, this guy can't do anything right. And you figure out why later on. But
they're all just telling all this, lies like, to them for deception, and so good.
Oh, it's that she was there trying to help. I mean, she was legitimately trying to help, and that's the character I'm most interested in. What is she or who is she or whatever, but it's, yeah. But so when they're at this guy's house, they find this closet with all these, it's like a serial killer thing almost. Like it's a shrine, but like there's like all these pictures on the wall and then shoes and stuff that are just like, also the first murder scene, why was there a nest? There was just like a nest on the ground. Why the fuck was there a nest on the ground?
Well, that guy kept doing that stuff with chickens, right? So, and he was making weird murder closets as well. And like, the reveal at the end when he's like holding the camera and you like get the picture from the other side, it full circle to the like weird death closet and like his obsession and like, it's cool because you're seeing the characters, I don't know, like you get what I'm saying, man. Like I love how they chose to show it instead of like spoon feed it.
Yeah, well that, and it's like, yeah, you get all this information, and I, even me at that end, I'm like, man, I could, if I knew what this was and this was, I'm like, ah, but yeah. So the guy gets real pissed. Like he goes in, he takes the shoe to his daughter, and she's like, "Nah, that's not my shoe." And this is when the guy goes back to the Japanese guy's place, and this is where he murders the dog, because the priest guy and everyone like gets the dog off the chain again, and he comes after him, and the dog is like, this is the dumbest scene of the whole movie for this character, because everyone's telling him that this Japanese guy is a ghost or a vampire or whatever the fuck they're calling him, and he goes there and pokes this motherfucker and just makes everything, like, I don't know if
he
makes
it worse.
Fuck
you, and fuck your dog, and fuck you, this door, and fuck you, I don't even like your fucking face, bye. And he
get out of here. You have 3 days to get out of here. Which,
why aren't you talking? Just talk, man. Fuck you, man. Fuck.
Yeah.
Like that's seriously what how he was talking to him. I'm not even exaggerating.
Yeah. He's just yelling in swear words, and the priest is trying to translate, and it's just like, it's this funny ass like translation, broken translation of what the cop is saying, and but yeah, so he just tells him to leave after like the dog gets after him, and he hits it with a pickaxe like three times or two times. And this is where like this
shoes.
Scene after this, I'm yeah. So like all this happens, and the daughter starts getting sick, and the mother-in-law goes, I'm going to hire the shaman, and he's going to cost a whole shit ton of money.
And he's flashy as hell.
Yeah. He's sitting there going, this guy can't be, I mean, he has to know what he's doing. He's like, cost $10,000 and whatever.
I love
so,
when they show his eyes in it too, because you see that he half knows what he's doing, and then just like, they'll like show him in between, and he can see through like with his eyes that he just doesn't 100% know what he's doing. He's got a huge entourage too.
Yeah.
An entourage like that has got to cost some fucking money, man.
Yeah. Well, this guy is like, he's not from their village. He's from somewhere else, and the mother-in-law knows like whatever. And it's, he goes into town and he doesn't really kind of believe everything, right? Because that all that, like, they bring him in like right before like they go into that his house the first time, right? Or the second time, right? It's like they bring him in and not everything's hit the fan at that point. But it's like timeline, because this movie is long, we were talking about, and a lot of this stuff is happening. And but he ends up being he ends up going, okay, we need to, this Japanese guy is a ghost or whatever he says he is or whatever, and he needs to do this death curse. And it's this really cool build up where they're doing his their thing and getting ready for the ceremony, and the Japanese guy is you see him going into this like marketplace and like buying black chickens and like then carrying them back on a bus. Just sitting there with chickens on the
bus.
I love
the mundane parts of it, like to show
yeah
that he's like he's got to like prepare and like go out in public and do these weird things and stuff. People are like, what the hell, man? Like, why you got a whole bunch of chickens on the bus?
Yeah. Well, it's like the thing that was like you kind of knew it was on because like the day after they went there and told the guy he's got to leave, they wake up and to the wife screaming because there's like a dead goat hanging from like black. They went and killed Black Phillip, man. They murdered the shit out of Black Phillip. And you're like, what the fuck? Because it looks
metal.
Realistic.
Yeah, that was metal, man.
Yeah. It was pretty hardcore. And so they go into the ceremony and like the daughter kept getting worse and they start doing the ceremony and then the Japanese guy is doing his own ceremony at the same time. And you kind of think you get this weird things of like the last murder that happened, one of these murders that happened, the guy was missing. Right. And the Japanese guy finds him in his truck and somehow like the shaman's trying to do this death curse, right? But it's
an elaborate hoax, I think, man. Like I feel like that whole thing was the elaborate hoax, because like at the end where he drops those pictures, like, you know, that's supposed to tell us a lot, obviously, but are those pictures from the death closet? Like, is he just like helping take pictures, or are those his own pictures?
He didn't really burn them.
So those were the
They never got burned.
Okay, so that those two are 100% working together then.
Yeah, I mean, you know that with a camera.
Yeah.
The camera is the how you really know that. But
then what about the third one? Like, is she just
I don't know what she is.
And they're like, she's way too powerful? Or she's got to be in on
she
it
was.
Too.
No, she was trying to stop it. That was where it was like, that's why she was following him around. That's why she repelled that guy, the shaman, so hard. That's why she could make him do that. That motherfucker was like pure evil. I think she might have been some kind of ghost of vengeance or a guardian angel or something.
She was fucking dope.
Yeah. Yeah. So the ceremony goes on.
So because he couldn't wait until the third thing?
Yep.
Fucking idiot. Yep. But he did it the entire movie. Like, you don't know if he waited for the shaman to be done. It could have. Well, actually, he was probably going to do worse, right?
Yeah, exactly. And well, so they're doing the ceremony, and the little girl is just fucking
agony. Yeah,
like she's screaming, and like
it looked like it.
And you sit there,
like she was getting.
Yeah, she did an awesome job. Yeah, wow. And you sit there, and you're like, this idiot. He told you, the shaman told him, like, if it goes badly, something bad could happen. And the cop starts just, like, knocking shit over and yelling at people. And he's like, yeah. And you're like, what the fuck?
Get out of my house.
Yeah. And it all goes into this, like, the thing where, like, the daughter is fucked up and everything's bad. So the guy goes into the town and he takes all these people who believe that this guy's a ghost or whatever he is. And they go up to basically lynch mob this motherfucker. They're like, they come up with like six guys and a pickup truck up this mountain to kill this motherfucker or scare him the fuck away. And it is, ends up being this giant chase scene where they're chasing this guy and he fucking is the most ninja thing ever I've ever seen for an old dude. But like, he basically hides on the side of a cliff so they don't find him. And then he falls. But then, like, this is where it starts getting... This, like, the whole, like, third act of this movie, they, like, make you go, is this guy bad or is this guy good? Is this guy bad or is this guy good? And
they keep you guessing for all... Like, yeah. They just keep you guessing.
The third act is, like, a lot... The big part of the whole third act is going back and forth in, like... Oh no! It's him. No, it's her. It's him. It's her. Like they do that like three times. You're like, and that's why I compared to Scream there, because that's that whole thing with Scream's the whodunit and yeah, then yeah. like throwing like misinformation in your
I'll
way.
I'll be right back. I felt like that.
Yeah. yeah. So that these guys are like, oh, we couldn't get, you know, like whatever, got away. And they're going home on in their truck, and the fucking dude just like falls on their truck while they're driving down the highway, basically, right? Like, it's like they run him over and they're like, what the fuck did we just hit? And they stop the truck and they go back.
I was so confused, man. I was like, what yeah. the fuck just yeah. happened? Like, yeah. I thought he was just an idiot and like not paying attention, and that was yeah. the outcome. And then all of a sudden I was like, wait, they hit a guy. And then I was like, wait, they hit him? When and yeah. how did all this and, fucking happen? Like, I didn't even look and then away.
yeah, and then you see the girl from earlier, the witness, on the side of the fucking hill. And you're like, what the fuck is she doing here?
Oh,
and you're
right.
like, right. And then they throw the body of the old man off the cliff. And
they
this
give
is
him
where
the
it's like,
old the, yeet.
Yeah, they yeet him off the cliff. Yeet, yeet, motherfucker. And you're sitting there going... You're sitting there going, oh, okay, everything's good. And, but then you look at how much, there's like 20, 25 minutes left in the movie. You're like, oh no, not everything's good. You get the, they go back and the little girl's all fine again and all whatever. And this is where it gets really, really, like the whole last like part of this is super intense because, so basically the priest, why does the priest go back? I'm not quite sure, but
he goes his,
back to the...
Well, because he thought he was the devil, remember? Like, he was like, yeah, you came yeah. to... It doesn't matter what I say, the contrary. You came here to yeah. prove that I was the devil. And,
that I'm the...
Yeah, and it yeah. doesn't matter anything I say. And then, such a cool...
I movie. Love his dialogue. I love the dialogue in this part because what ends up happening is, like, you're the shaman... is like realize they sell is the shaman realizes something and is like, oh, you can't do this and this and this and whatever, and he comes back to the town, and this is where he runs into the woman, and he starts projectile vomiting everywhere with his blood and stomach acid. You're like, what the? It's like I said earlier, but Team America, but like with real,
yeah, it's not comical,
real and not
it's like
at all, yeah.
It starts with like just a bloody nose
that bloody nose.
Like a tiny bit. He's like, oh, and just as he goes up to be like, oh, is my nose like, oh my god, yeah. my nose is like, and
and just everywhere, man. It's the most vomit I've ever seen.
It's like, I don't know the gag they used. I don't know, but it even looked like it caught yeah. him off guard, and then he was like, oh my yeah. god. Like, it was, yeah. wow, that was such a good scene, man. Yeah. Like, such a good scene.
Yeah. The it all hits, and it's like, it's, he's like, oh, no, you can't, like, it's her. And, it, like, he starts, the shaman starts trying to sell you that this woman's spirit that you've seen, like, a few times there, the movie is actually the one doing everything. And you're like, well, that doesn't really make sense, but like maybe this guy really knows, or maybe whatever. And then the shaman and the police officer are trying to meet up, and you're like, but what's actually happening? And so the police officer is trying to go back to his village, and he runs into this woman's spirit, and she's like, you can't go back into your house until the rooster's crowed three times. It's very like, it's the Judas thing, right? Isn't that like from the Bible? It's like the Judas and like the crow and like three times and all that shit. But it's that religious tone where you're like, oh, but where is this actually going with this? And this is where you were talking about the priest goes back to this Japanese guy's house, and he finds that like behind the houses there's like this it looks like a mining tunnel, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like a mining tunnel into this mountain. And he goes in there and he finds the Japanese guys. And you're like, how the fuck is this guy going? Because you're the whole like third act, they try to sell you that it's this woman, not him. And it's just like this old guy who's all beat up from like getting hit by a car and thrown off a cliff. And you're like, but he wouldn't be alive. and he acts all innocent, and then he starts. He throws a fucking villain monologue here at the end that you're like,
oh yeah.
Oh, this is what he's like.
Like,
he's like,
on.
Just show. He's like, show me your true form, and I'll let you live, and or I'll let you leave, or whatever. And the priest says to him, and he goes, "Who thinks you think you're letting me leave? I'm not letting you leave." Yeah. And you're like, "What? What the fuck?"
The tables have turned, and then the mask comes off, and oh man, such a good reveal.
It turns into what I think of when I think of a Japanese demon. He's got like the horns coming out of his head, and he's got that very like
show, because he's a Japanese guy, but like show him like open up something, and it's like the Japanese mask, and I think that was like foreshadowing to his actual form as well. Like it looked
the one cop found it in his house the one time, like the first time they were there, right? Which, by the way, his partner murdered everyone. Like, his partner murdered his family at some point, right? Which was even more fun. And this is where
even more
start getting the,
you know, because you know that's even more fun.
Yeah. Well, dude, nothing in this third act is fun, but it like when it just like you're tense this whole third act, and they. The whatever she is, the woman says you can't. She laid a trap for him, right? She's like you, but you can't go. You can't go until the third crow goes. And this is when the shaman calls him again, and he's like, you can't listen to her. Yeah. And blah blah blah. And
putting the doubt.
So this idiot.
Yeah, I was doubting both sides too. Like I didn't know. I thought she was the bad guy.
Yep.
Still at that point, right?
Yep.
Like I don't. Well, I still don't. Like is she? I don't.
She was. I'm confident she was the good.
You know
guy.
What I like, think?
She was.
I think what? All three of them were all working together, and everyone was doomed, no matter what.
Maybe, but see, the thing is, like, that woman is barely in the movie.
I know, but like, that's
and,
just my like,
yeah,
gloomy.
Oh no, I understand.
On everything. But they don't answer, so it could be that.
Yeah,
and that's what I love.
Her dressed up in all white. That's why I said, is she an angel? Is she, you know, what is she? And she's like the one that's on like the posters and shit like that. It's like, what is she in this whole thing?
But to be honest,
I wonder
the fact that it ends with all three potential bad guys or two bad guys, one good guy, all three of them living and everyone else dying makes me think they're all bad guys.
Maybe. Well, I think if she was a good guy, I don't think she could she couldn't determine human reactions. She couldn't do anything. She could just do what she could, but I don't know. I mean, you might be right. I'm not saying you're wrong. How I viewed it.
Now that you brought that up, like I definitely see it your way for sure. And I'm not holding on to my way, but like that's my immediate was. Holy shit, they're all working together? That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But you bringing it up like that, I could definitely see it that way too. But that's cool that you can see it. But this movie, and I love movies done like this. You don't need to answer everything. And it makes it so much better. And it makes it a conversation piece.
Yep. Yeah, so the cop can't wait till the third crow goes off. And he goes in and back into his house and... This is where you know it's really fucked up because they have like these like plants hanging over the entranceway to their compound, and when he goes in, they all look like little skulls or something like that, right? Yeah. And everything shrivels up, and he walks in, and the girl, his daughter, has murdered the wife and the grandma, and then the guy is just like, he's like comatose at that point, like he stops it being able to do anything. And
the way they filmed the first time the daughter stabbed, like, and they came in with the car, like, it felt like so real to me, like, just too real. Like, oh my God, what did you do? Like, oh, and like, just the reaction, the amount of time they spent on it and before going to the next scene and stuff, it felt so viscerally real because I don't know. I have kids. So, like, I've come into situations where you come into the room and like something bad has happened to your kid or something like that. And just that feeling and that whole like the anxiety felt and like everything was just, it was a perfect depiction of like, oh my God, I can't, you know, just like, oh, I felt sick to my stomach in that scene. Just like, oh my God, they didn't show like hardly anything. It was just a knife beside her reaction. But the kid, man. Amazing.
She does a really awesome job. And again, this is all like they do it like the same way they've done it the rest of the movie, where they don't show you what happened. They just show you the after, like aftermath. And it's, there's always blood everywhere in these scenes, which I think is crazy good. Well done. So after this, like the police show up or whatever happens. And then, this like, so what happens is the old Japanese man starts turning into like looking like a demon. And he's mocking the priest, and we're pretty sure he kills the priest, right? They don't show him do it, but he's taking pictures of him, and it explains like how these pictures were on the murder room wall. And the fucked up part is at the end, after that, they the shaman shows up at the dude's house, the cop's house, and he walks into the crime scene, and he starts taking pictures with the exact same
camera,
and you go, so this motherfucker was working with the shaman all along, and it's like he was the he's like the human conduit, and he probably just enables these things to go even worse or better for the demon. And and that's the interesting part about all of it, though, is like what was the woman in this whole equation, and what did she do? Like, what, that's the thing where I left it. I'm like, man,
but the partner too, like. You could see, I don't know, man. The partner with, like, just the way he just lost everything and just, like, in gaze, and it was creepy. He played that really creepy.
Yeah. And it was sold as, like, you know, the whole, like, you know, in, like, America where pastors or preachers or whatever do the whole, like, speaking in tongues and stuff like that. And that's what it had, they do a very good job of, like, throwing this, like, this guy is a dedicated like shaman, and they even throw like at the end of the movie, like during the third act, he tries to throw the cop off, and he's like, "Oh no, that Japanese guy, he's not a ghost. He's like a shaman like me." And they do a good job of throwing you off during that third act with that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all over the place, but man, it is not all over the place like in a bad way, but it's like, it's jumping back and forth and back and forth because it's telling the story of like keeping you guessing and keeping you on your toes. Right. So, man, it's funny because like I had heard repeatedly that this movie was great. And it's one of the more casual, like that was great kind of thing while I was watching it, you know, like I was really enjoying it, but like,
I was the same way. I was like, I was very confused about the rating until the very, very end, because the end it's just so overly satisfying how it all ties together. But then you realize that all the mundane little things that you think aren't really anything are everything. Yeah. And that's what makes this movie art upon art upon art.
It's
like the stupid things actually, it's all thought out.
Yeah. I would be interested to go and rewatch this movie and kind of see if you can see things with the shaman specifically. Yeah. Like,
well, now
see any cues or seeing.
I actually felt the exact same way, and I haven't felt like watching a movie right away after watching it since like, what was it? The Sixth Sense. Like that's like the main movie that it's just like, wait, what? I was duped the entire time. I gotta watch this fucking thing again, right? Like,
That it reminds me of Saw. Saw is always my go-to with that, like because Saw's ending is the most what the fuck thing. Like, and Sixth Sense is up there, but man, Saw hit me. That ending hit me more than any other.
Wait,
like,
was he just laying
like,
there the entire time?
Fuck. Yeah, and is this him? And he's game over, man. And it's like, man,
it was clever. Oh, but that's that's why movies that good and that stand out that much start careers as big as James Wan's, because man, does he deserve
it. And Lee what do you call him? Lee Parnell, or whatever his name last name is, who was the guy who got left in the room in that movie. So it's like,
oh yeah, and he did like Insidious and stuff, right? Like all those ones.
Yeah, he's done a lot of them, and he was the one who did Invisible Man last year and everything like that. So,
so good.
Yeah, it's
that.
Okay.
If I get on that. I love Warner Brothers just because of the fact that they have brought up so many smaller like directors and have just given them the tools to be good directors. Man, it just sucks that like DC is just not working out for them.
Dude, when this Snyder cut is a fucking disaster, which I'm pretty confident it's gonna be.
Dude, I just don't want it to be so bad because like it already was so bad. So there's no way it could be so bad again. But I guess, actually, now that I just heard that out of, I guess it could just be so bad again.
I
read a quote that said his wife and someone like saw the movie and they're like, he can never see that. And that's what gives me hope because like I know he's a visual guy and he loves and I love the visuals of movies too. But I need my meal too. Like the Wailing just gave me a big turkey dinner and I felt so satisfied because it had good characters, good storytelling. And wow. If he can bring that in, he's got a budget again. What did he get to redo this? Like another 30...
20 million. 20 million, like,
That's just to recut a movie, man.
Well, he reshot a lot of it.
But still.
But, I mean,
just thinking about... what was Psycho Gorman? Just wait. I didn't say Psycho Gorman yet this episode.
Can we just rename not the Murder Moose podcast, the Psycho Gorman podcast? Because this is Josh's love of Psycho Gorman.
I told
you. I really love Psycho Gorman too, so don't
worry. Yeah, he's my hunky boy, okay?
He is your hunky. I don't know what it is. Here, let's see. I'll see what it is. I want to see what it is on Rotten Tomatoes. It is 89%. How is Psycho Gorman, by the way, 89% with the critics, 61% with the audience?
Because audiences don't get deadpan, man. They don't understand deadpan.
Yeah. God damn it. How? Oh, my God. Okay.
It's the best movie ever made, by the way.
So, I would really like to do The Hairdresser if you could get a hold of it.
The Stylist? Yeah.
The Stylist. Do you want to do? Do you want to say we're gonna do Wrong Turn in case you can't? Yeah, sure.
Oh, I'm looking at this other movie. We Summon the Darkness. What the fuck is that? Is that even a horror movie?
I don't know.
Horror music thriller, and it has Johnny Knoxville in it. What? I don't know.
Everything you just. Oh, this is 2019, and it's on Netflix, and it's a. I mean. If you want to watch that, man, it's your pick. So what do you want to watch?
I don't know. We have some choices. That's all I got to say.
Okay. We'll tweet out a trailer. Yeah,
That's what I like. I like to be indecisive because I want to really watch The Stylist. But if we can't get it, then let's do... I don't know. I'm down for Wrong Turn or this. I'll do like a poll or something on Twitter if I can't get The Stylist.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we'll figure it out. And we'll tweet it out. Also go look at the website because that's we're gonna link our YouTube. If you can go follow our YouTube so we could get up to 100 followers, that would be great. I think we're at like 10 right now, so we'll get there hopefully. But I think that's all, man. Yeah, this movie was dope, man. It is. I think we can skip off of the South Korean thing for a while after, but man, I want to end for now with South Korean with Old Boy for episode 25, like I said.
100%.
Then we could dive into, there's lots of things I would like to watch, like we could do some Japanese things for sure. I kind of even would like to do some Chinese horror films.
I'm down, man. You know what foreign
there's
means?
Like things
foreign.
Yeah. Norwegian. Dude, have you ever seen Troll Hunter, that movie?
No, actually. Maybe. I don't know, man.
You would.
I don't say.
You would like
I
that
don't
movie
say no. If I'm especially like, and I love the Globe, man.
the Globe Theater in Calgary. It just, it's run by the coolest dude, Cody. He's been in like trauma films and stuff. So like you can like seriously he's
awesome.
Got a trauma tattoo and like has been in trauma films and is like a part of the crew now. So you know just by me saying those things that this place is the fucking best and has the coolest movies coming to it all the time. Indie gold and like 35 mil prints and like oh man like just I'm so spoiled. To have someone that cool running the indie house in my city, right?
Yeah. Dude, we, the one theater that's in Denver, which I only went to once, and I went because I ended up seeing a lot of movies at Alma after this, but we went and saw, it's called the Aztec. And
nice.
Me and my buddy Phil went and saw Black Crow at it, or not Black, Black Swan at it. And that movie was such a fucking head trip, but it was a really fun experience. So
nice, dude.
Oh, okay, Josh. We'll tweet out when we figure out what we're going to watch, but we're a very fly by the seat of our pants kind of podcast, which I'm okay with. And it's us, so it fits. So anything else before we get out of here?
If it ever
man?
Like feels like not like that, then it's just, no, man, you got to do it like that, man.
it's so funny because all the podcasts that we're friends with on the network, and they're all like, oh yeah, these are the next like 8 movies we're watching. And I'm like, well, Josh and I will figure out what we're watching next week at some point. But again, I think what we're doing is unique and cool, so I like it. So okay, buddy.
It's totally me, man. Wait, what?
Yeah, it's totally no, it's not it? Totally you, it's totally us.
Yeah, the ADD.
It's totally us.
The ADD crew.
It's totally us. Okay, buddy. Well, if you're listening, let's go listen. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever. Go to our website, murdermoose.com. Or if you want to email us, it's murdermoosepodcast@gmail.com, which all this stuff is on our website. But come leave a comment and not like a bot like Josh tells me about all the time. So.
There's been a few more bots that come through. Now they're advertising to us, though. Do you need life insurance?
Nice. Okay, buddy. Well, I think that's all. I love your face. And
hey, maybe next time you'll see it.
Maybe we'll be live. Like, this will be on YouTube by the weekend. But yeah, so. Okay, buddy. Well, I love your face. I love you all for listening. And we'll see you guys next time. So
bye.
Bye.